What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, you might be getting to this guy still. We had Michael DeRocco, who is the Brooke Pryor of Jacksonville Jags coverage. He covers them for ESPN.
He is their biggest insider.
Is that Vito Stellino still around down there?
I believe Vito is still with us on planet Earth. I don't think he is covering the Jaguars anymore. He's about 97 years old.
And Prisco is based in Jacksonville, but he covers the NFL at large.
And wears jorts.
A lot of jorts.
And hates going on our station.
Anyway.
So he will not be at the 15th anniversary party. Maybe that's incentive to go.
Anyway, now here is what I will say. Michael DeRocco said, piqued my interest when he pointed out that he's got his sources he believes are very well placed. It's not like mid-level people, it's higher level people, telling him no call was made. But then he did say if they called, Jacksonville, doing its diligence as just a competent franchise,
would listen. Right.
And I will concede this much. You make a compelling argument for Ryan. Why would he lie about this? He stands to gain nothing from lying. The only thing that could happen is if somebody proved that he was lying, it would damage his standing with his current employer. Like, hey, Ryan, why did you step way outside your
domain,
your area, your domain, and do this, right? But when the guy who is plugged into that team and does have a lot of sources says they'd listen, but the Steelers didn't call, I will concede to you. Maybe I'm naive here. That carries some weight with me. The only other alternative being he's just wrong to say they would be truthful with him and they lied to him.
All right, so I saved the one that I believe in the most.
Okay.
I think the source BS'd Ryan Burr. We know it's not their GM. We know it's probably not, although Ryan didn't say this, we know it's probably not their coach. So you're trying to figure out who are these people he talked to. He said to us it's on the golf course.
Does Tony Khan, the owner's son, play golf?
I don't know, but I'm just saying conversations happen on the golf course. People start having a few drinks maybe. It's loose.
Does somebody send it out there wanting Ryan to run with it, just wanting to see a little chaos on a Wednesday or a Thursday morning?
He said no, that the person wasn't like thrilled that he had
said it
put
publicly
this out there.
Because they didn't think he would put it out there.
I just think it's possible that sometimes people that work for teams, like, get in over their skis or just like to hear themselves talk.
Want to be somebody that drove the news cycle for a day.
And want to just be like, oh, yeah, like, Trevor Lawrence, people still love Trevor Lawrence. You know, Trevor Lawrence is still looked at in NFL circles as a big-time player. The Steelers called on Trevor Lawrence. Did you know that? Like, I think that people do that kind of stuff.
So you think Ryan Burr just got misled by someone?
I think it's very
possible. You think that is the most plausible explanation?
Of everything here, somebody says to Ryan, yeah, the Steelers.
Then this is just
the Steelers called.
This is deductive reasoning on your part.
Uh-huh. I don't know anything. He hasn't said that to me. Ryan hasn't said, I got the sense or impression that I was
duped.
Yeah, that I was hoodwinked here.
Michael DeRocco saying they would listen, but nobody's called just sticks. It keeps sticking with me here. That's a guy who's as plugged in as anybody who's essentially saying the quiet part loud. They wouldn't worry about hurting Trevor Lawrence's feelings. They'd pick up the phone because that's just what teams do. Like, I'm sure if somebody trying to trade for Patrick Mahomes,
but
the Chiefs might pick up the phone and hear you say
But I don't think they'd want to have that, like, still awkward conversation with him. I don't think that when you've given a guy that amount of money and you've said to him over and over again, you're our guy.
You don't even want it out there that you would pick up
right,
the phone.
Right, so I think the Jaguars would lie about that.
So you think multiple people here may have been lied to?
Yeah. But I think the one that makes the most sense to me is that somebody just wanted to make it seem like there was this potentially gigantic NFL story that got shot down.
I mean, the funniest part about this is...
And he said it came from inside the Jaguars organization. That's the other part. He didn't say it was from an agent.
It was from somebody on the staff there, on the payroll.
Yeah.
The other thing is, the other thing is, too, just like everybody in this has... I don't think Ryan has a motivation to lie, per se. But like everybody else, both team entities, you can absolutely fashion a scenario where they would want to lie. Which is kind of the funny part about all of this, like, deep-sourced reporting
The Steelers' motive for lying, though, makes the least sense. Because they don't have a... If they still had Kenny Pickett, let's say...
And they were calling on Lawrence, yes, it would be very different. We don't want you to know we're basically thinking about giving up.
All right, so, like, for example...
Have anybody under contract that they would be whose feelings they're protecting.
When you and me, last March, started to get the impression that Pickett might get traded...
Yes.
Because that's what he wanted.
Yes.
I thought what might happen there is, I say, Kenny Pickett wants to get traded. The Steelers don't actually want to trade him. And so that gets put out there, and they immediately deny it and say, no, that's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't want it to even, like, rise to the level where it's public knowledge and people know and people are discussing and actually taking seriously that there's some discord there or there's some unhappiness mm-hmm. or there's some strife there. They just want to, like, put out that fire immediately.
Yep.
So in those situations, when you have an incumbent, I understand why teams would want to, like,
squash it.
Would try to squash rumors. There's nobody to piss off right now.
Correct. Well, you could piss off Skylar Thompson.
Right. Like, so, yeah, there's nobody who's worth a damn that you're unless like Justin Fields thought that negotiations were down the road or something and going somewhere. And now he's like, wait a minute, a guy from my own draft class?
Like, there's a little shady business that I've been under the impression you liked me more than him anyway. You're thinking about this from like the logical, rational perspective. I'm going to hit you with something that you may or may not agree with. I think the Steelers could have a very simple motivation for lying that doesn't actually make sense to anybody because there's no tactical element to it. They're just the Steelers, and they don't like their business being out on Front Street. They like to try to move in the shadows, honestly. Like a total pride and just image and ego thing. You're looking at me kind of with like I just farted or something like that because that doesn't scan or track with any logical way of like doing business. It's sheerly an emotional thing, but you have to concede that that's absolutely possible when you're talking about some of the egos involved here.
Donnie, what's your conspiracy theory on everything that's gone on here?
I think yours is pretty plausible that it wasn't like Ryan woke up this morning and decided, hey, I'm just going to tweet this for the hell of it about the Steelers and Trevor Lawrence. I think it's very reasonable that somebody floated that to him. He put it out there. Other people debunk it because I think it's easier to do the debunking in that case than be the guy that's running with it actually being something that has steam to it.
Did you want it to be true? Like when you saw it happening in real time and like Ryan put out a tweet that made it seem like they actually had a conversation with the Jaguars, where the Steelers at least discussed trading a first and second round pick for Trevor Lawrence. Did you want that to be true?
Yeah, because at least that tells me that they are going out here with the approach of leaving no stone unturned, like looking at different avenues that aren't simply guys that they can get in free agency or maybe a dude they will draft. Like a true bold move that would be them really going all in, essentially, if they were going to give away the draft capital that got
discussed. Pop said he would have been fine with that trade. Would you have been fine with it, Chris?
So it's weird because I've been the guy, like, saying all day, like, poking some holes in the Trevor Lawrence mystique. Like, hey, it's sort of troubling that this guy hasn't really gotten better. And he's had, I think, what most people would argue is decent coaching for most of that chunk. Like, Doug Peterson is thought of as a good coach.
Horrendous coaching at first. I mean, just...
Okay, Urban Meyer, yes, atrocious. Yeah, and then Peterson you would awful. Think is a stabilizing influence there, but it never really clicked with him. You're right. You're right about Urban. I kind of have memory hold that. I actually would be okay with it just because as much as I have misgivings about whether that this player at 25 years and some change is ever going to be the guy people thought he was as like this generational best since Andrew Luck prospect, what Steve Palazzolo said is ultimately true. It's impossible to ignore the physical gifts. It's impossible to ignore that the arm talent and all the other like all the other stuff you cannot teach to somebody is there with him that it isn't that wasn't there. It's like the antithesis of Pickett, right? There were so many questions about Kenny physically, and then it turned out that Kenny, from a processing standpoint, couldn't hack it really either. There's no questions about if Trevor Lawrence physically has all the tools in the toolbox to get you to where you want to go. It's can you bring out the most in him? And I think, like, especially if you're talking about, like, should the Steelers have tried to make a bold move in this coming draft for a quarterback? And it's like, no, their bold move is this year's first and this year's second. For this guy, I'm not going to sit there and crush it. I'm going to probably be the guy who's going on the air saying, I am by no means confident that this will work, but it's a swing worth taking.
If a player were available to the Steelers with the 21st pick, who is a 25-year-old quarterback with Trevor Lawrence's ability, they would take him there.
Correct.
So then the only thing...
It's also, you're also not trading like the first pick in the draft here. You're trading pick 21
and
pick 53.
So then the other thing becomes, are you comfortable throwing pick 53 in there? And I say yes again.
You say yes because you think if you're going to get, like, the truly great version of Trevor Lawrence, like the guy that's in there, it, like, doesn't matter nearly as much that you don't have access to a defensive lineman or something until the third round because the prince who was promised is going to probably paper over some of your many warts at that point.
15 minutes away from Total Request Thursday. What do you want us to talk about at 5:30? You can vote on that. Go to our Twitter accounts. You'll find it there. We're at the Rivers Casino Sportsbook. Another gentleman just came over, picked up passes to our 15th anniversary party and said, did you know Paige Sporanek's dad was on the 76 Pitt football team?
I had somebody...
That is remarkable. I did not know that.
I think that was our pal, I think it was Benzie, who texted me. Yeah, her dad, Dan Sporanek. And then you were like, well, Malzy, where did she grow up? I think she was suburban Denver. Like, I looked it up, Wheat Ridge,
Colorado.
But parents,
big Steelers fans.
Right. Her dad, you're like, oh, did he grow up around here? Was he a Whippio kid? Pony. From Croatia.
How did a kid from Croatia end up on the 76 Steelers
Great
football?
Scouting. I mean, Pitt Great advanced team. Scouting, I think.
Okay.
How does a kid from Croatia originally, like, what are he and Tony Dorsett talking about? You know Croatia's got some of the best beaches in the world. Nobody knows about that. Do you even realize that it's a coastal country?
I did not know that it was known for its beaches.
Oh, it legitimately is.
All right. Trevor Lawrence thing has dominated the conversation all day here. It's been shot down by reporters in Jacksonville. Kabali did that here in Pittsburgh. Ray Fittipaldo joins us now, brought to you by Western PA Injury Attorneys Larry Kelly and Joe George from LGKG. Your home team. Ray, when you first saw this report today, did it make sense to you that the Steelers had allegedly reached out to the Jags about Trevor Lawrence?
I didn't think much of it. Would it make sense on its surface? I suppose if the Jaguars made it known that he was on the trade block, but apparently that never happened either. So, to be honest with you, I saw people were talking about it. We didn't even bother to tweet about it because we found out it was false. So that's pretty much where we are.
Oh, when you say you found out it was false.
How did you? Like, people within the Steelers confirm that this never happened?
I didn't make the phone call. So somebody else from our Steelers beat made the phone call and I found out about it. So.
Okay. So the Post-Gazette's reporting that they didn't even look into this is what you're telling us.
We don't really want to respond to rumors, so we don't. we didn't want to give it any life. So, but I mean, it got plenty of life on its own, right? So,
and Pony was the one doing CPR.
All right. So Ray, then let me ask you about this rumor. I just see DeMarvin Leal is the latest Steeler to make fun of and crush the idea of Aaron Rodgers, who the Jets tweeted out today his relationship with them is done. He will not be back as their quarterback. Cower went on Dan Patrick's show and said the Steelers are hell-bent on winning in 2025. They'll talk about Aaron Rodgers, and if they think Aaron Rodgers is better than Russell Wilson or Justin Fields, they'll absolutely explore it and possibly make it happen.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
I clicked on the Dan Patrick interview, and you know, Bill also made it known that he hadn't talked to Art or Omar or Mike or anyone like that either. So he was kind of speculating. And then, like, listen, he's been in the building. He knows that how this off-season stuff works, and you always talk about free agents. So, you know, I'm sure that part of it is true. I just, you know, the idea of bringing in a 41-year-old quarterback when you just went through a season with a 36-year-old quarterback beating out a 25-year-old quarterback. I mean, to me, it just doesn't make much sense on its surface. And then there's all kinds of baggage with Aaron, too. Apparently doesn't have a lot of friends around the league. If people are going to, you know, tweet about him the way Deshaun Elliott and apparently DeMarvin Leal are now. So I just don't think it would be a good marriage. And I think Aaron's probably going to play somewhere, but 99.9% sure it's not going to be with the Steelers.
Pretty early in this process still, and a lot can happen, Ray, but to what degree do you think the following is true? There's going to be a lot of noise and chatter around potential Steelers quarterbacks for next year, and then when all is said and done, it's Justin Fields back on like a two-year deal as a semi-bridge quarterback to 2026 where they try to draft one.
Yeah, probably the latter, although, you know, you never say never, because it was this time last year where, you know, nobody here thought they were going to go after Russell Wilson, and then, you know, it happens. So I never say never on anything, but I think Steelers probably want some continuity. Art Rooney spoke to that a couple of weeks ago. I think they're going to pick one or the other, and I think that's exactly what it's going to be. There's going to be a bridge quarterback until they can find their next guy, whether it's this year in the draft or more than likely next year in the draft, when the crop is going to be much better than the current class coming out in the draft.
Ray, is there anybody that you think is a free agent that's a veteran quarterback that you think we need to keep an eye on who's not an Aaron Rodgers? You know, like you've got Albert Breer, I think he said in his reporting, he believes there's a better chance the Steelers' next quarterback is not on their roster right now than the two incumbents that have been debated. So if you at least entertain that for a minute, who would be a guy that you think would maybe match that description?
I mean, I don't think they would go after Sam Darnold because I think he's going to be too expensive. You know, Matthew Stafford's not a free agent yet. We don't know what the Rams are going to do with him. That's probably more of a trade scenario. And I think I've discussed with you guys that that's probably the most attractive quarterback for the Steelers, veteran. If you're going to go after a veteran, I think, you know, you could see that maybe making a little bit of sense for the Steelers, although I still have a hard time, you know, picturing him behind the Steelers offensive line that, you know, was so leaky in pass protection and how that would work. So unless you shorted up around him, got him better weapons, I don't know that would work either. But I guess if you're talking about free agents or guys who are on the trade block, Stafford would be the one guy for me.
Ray, you mentioned the offensive line, so I'll go there. Why is this team so seemingly content to run it back by merely switching Broderick Jones to the other side, getting Fautanu back, and having the coach who coached those guys stay on the job despite pretty much everybody acknowledging that they are an issue and were an issue for the team last year?
Yeah. Well, you know how the Steelers are going to view Fautanu. They're going to tell us that he's like an extra number one pick this year because he only played in one game last year. And I think to some extent that is going to be true. He's going to be a big lift for that offensive line. And as far as the Pat Meyer stuff goes, listen, I don't think he's Mike Munchak. But, you know, if you're going to bang him for Broderick Jones. And I think, you know, there's probably some just criticism there for the way they've developed Broderick Jones. But if you're going to do that, you also have to be fair and say he developed Zach Frazier, right? And he was on the way to developing Troy Polamalu to the point where you told Jerry Dulac, or Jerry Dulac was told from somebody in that organization that he was already the Steelers' best lineman in August. So if you're going to give him credit for guys, or if you're going to criticize him for guys, then you also have to give him credit for the way he developed those two rookies. So, I mean, I get it. Broderick's been a disappointment. Pat has to, eat that to a certain extent.
I don't know that it's all fair. Let me jump in there. I don't think Fautanu's a bad pick or anything by any stretch. And when they got him, I thought, okay, this seems like another good choice. I saw absolutely nothing, and I'm no expert here. I try to do my best. I saw nothing to suggest like that there should be the level of optimism that you and others have said there is internally about how good he's going to be. Like, based on what he actually put on tape in the preseason and very briefly in the regular season, I didn't think there was anything that stood out there.
I mean, there's only one game in Denver, right? I mean, that was the first game he played. And, you know, the preseason game, he was coming off that knee injury. People forget he had two knee injuries, right? He had the one early on in camp where he missed like 3 weeks and then he came back. So I'm not going to judge him on anything that happened in the preseason or even one game. When he was healthy, guys, he was really good in practice. And I was there every day in camp. So I'm telling you, if he stays healthy, he's got potential to be a Pro Bowler next year at right tackle. And I think you guys know he's also capable of playing guard. And there were people coming out in the draft last year said he would be a better guard in the NFL than a tackle. So he's just a really talented player. And, you know, the Steelers just have to hope that these injuries are behind them. And if they are, I think they've got a really good one.
Ray, I know what Jerry said again, but if they sign Najee to a 3-year, $18 million deal, I'm going to want to smash my head against this table here at the Rivers.
Well, and suddenly some of our listeners just started hoping they ink that deal immediately.
And please don't tell me that you've done a 180 on that and think it's a good idea. Please.
No, I don't. I would probably rip them if that happened. It's such a good running backs class, guys, that you can – I mean, if you want to go with Jaylen Warren and a rookie for 1 year – you'll probably be at least as good as you were last year. I mean, there's all kinds of running backs. You got the two guys from Ohio State, probably second or third rounders. You got Caleb Johnson from Iowa. You got Devin Neal from Kansas. I'm not even mentioning Ashton Gentry and the kid from North Carolina.
Ollie Gordon from Oklahoma State, big guy who coming off a down year, but with big stats in the past.
You know, to me, like, I don't know. We'll see what happens a month from now. In free agency. To me, if you do move on from Najee, it's going to be interesting to see what route they do go in the draft. Do you go for like a home run hitter, a guy who produced in college and broke long runs?
Because
there's plenty of guys like Judkins, too. Like Judkins from Ohio State is probably more like Najee Harris than anyone else. Really, really solid, really good, but he's not a guy who's going to break long runs for you. So there's all different types of backs in this draft. That's a nice thing. They can sort of pick and choose what type of back they want for Arthur Smith's offense.
Ray Fittipaldo, Post-Gazette. Check him out there and listen to him tomorrow at 11 with Donnie and Joe. Thank you, Ray. We'll talk again soon.
All right, guys. See ya.
30 on a Thursday means it's time for the topic you picked, Total Request Thursday. Four options on the table. 8% of you wanted Aaron Rodgers talk on the day the Jets officially waved goodbye to the four-time MVP, 41-year-old quarterback who ripped the Steelers' hearts out in Super Bowl 45. 13.6% of you wanted us to talk about Spencer Horwitz, his wrist malady, his eight-week recovery plan, and where it leaves the Pirates. 36.6% wanted us to talk about the incredible display of hockey from Sidney Crosby last night in the Four Nations.
I might have goosed that up from about 34.5% by openly admitting I voted for that.
On a team of all-time greats, Sidney Crosby was the best player on the ice last night. but he lost with 41.9% of the vote. Our listeners want us to talk about Trevor Lawrence.
Donnie, what's that one meme? It's like a woman working at a Popeyes sitting on a milk crate with her head down.
Yeah, I love that one. It's the tired Popeyes employee.
I kind of feel like the tired Popeyes employee right now. I do. There are numerous days when we have Thursdays when we do Total Request Thursday, and when I see the results of the vote, on one hand, I feel validated. We have a certain, you know, our approach to what our topics are. Usually the topic we deem the most popular, the fans deem the most popular. But I am a tired Popeyes employee at the moment.
Do you remember when they had that thing where it was just, okay, here's what NFL starting quarterbacks looked like if they were women?
Yes.
And they made all, like, they changed all of them.
Except for Trevor Lawrence.
Yes,
and they just
exactly.
kept him the same.
Yes,
yeah.
That's what I was getting at.
He does have very good hair.
I was going to ask you guys, best hair in sports?
Ooh. Like current, right? Currently going.
No, you can go back in
time. Well, because, like, I know Pittsburgh here. Like, we have a provincial audience.
We're
I don't
a mullet
them.
Town.
Yeah, Pittsburgh's a yogurt mullet town.
Did you ever have a mullet?
No. Man, I don't
is
know.
Is that because your mom wouldn't
no,
let
me? No, I mean, I was always like a buzz cut kid.
You missed the prime of mullets.
No, because, like, I remember kids growing up who had the mullet, and even back then I was like, that's kind of a trashy looking haircut. Like, the kid had
oh,
the
so
little.
So you looked down on mullets.
Well,
I could
you know
see
what
that.
Kids would have? They wouldn't have mullets. Donnie, did anyone you grew up with have
the rat
what they called
tail?
Thank you. The
I
rat
knew
tail.
You were
going
to bring it up.
The rat tail got to be, like, the trashiest looking haircut, I feel like. For
I
a
always
kid.
Wanted a rat tail and never had one.
I just. Even as a little kid, not that I had good hair, I didn't. My hair would, like, stick straight out. It was bad. You know, it's good that I shave my head now.
My friend Justin Cishan had a rat tail, and I was always looked up to him. He was a year, 2 years older than me.
I feel like the.
And
I feel
like damn,
the,
I want one of those, and my mom said no.
The Venn diagram of kids who had a rat tail and kids who had tried cigarettes and dip before age 14 is one circle.
Reed Slavin in seventh grade was smoking cigarettes. I'll never forget it.
Did Reed have a rat tail?
No, he was like a. Trying to, he was a jolly fellow with red hair, and he also like once pulled a mouse out of his pocket, like he had a live mouse on him.
What's yeah. of Mice and Men, Lenny?
Yeah, that's what I thought
Reed
of.
Slavin.
Yep, in seventh grade he was smoking.
Yeah,
cigarettes.
I just to me the rat tail
he stole him from his dad.
The rat tail is how do you steal cigs from your dad? Your dad's probably gonna notice.
Yeah, but if it's a pack and you pull out a few,
the dad's not gonna remember that hey, I didn't smoke those. Why there's 20 cigarettes or whatever in a pack?
Where no, people aren't counting up how many cigarettes they have left every time they go in and get
I think it's an easier crime to like steal a little bit of vodka from your parents' like vodka bottle and fill it with water.
Yeah, we were dipping in eighth grade.
Anyway, I just started think, for I will say the rat tail's the trashiest looking haircut you can put on a kid. And I stand by that to this day. So
Donnie, did John Football ever have a mullet?
No, he had a fro in his late high school years.
I need to see that. You need yeah. to you need to produce a picture, pictorial evidence of that, because I
could
want
to
see that.
He still has his yearbook. So
I want to see
senior yearbook.
Best hair in sports. Obviously, we're talking men, because I feel like there's plenty of female athletes who have great hair.
I got the impression when this
– I got an answer, by the way. Julius Erving when he had the big fro.
Oh.
Julius Erving.
I feel like Letang has some great hair.
I'm surprised we haven't had people like burst up to us here at the casino like Kool-Aid Man listening on their phones go, Troy!
Well,
how about Demata Peko? Had that big like orange looking like a beaver
Bengals
pelt.
Nose tackle. Well, it's been a huge influx of bald people that have wanted to come to this event.
Can I say Slick Watts had great hair even though he was bald? Like, because it's just, you know. Sometimes no hair is great.
Did he wear a headband?
Yes, most people would tell you that Slick Watts is the best headband wearer of all time as far as how cool the headband looked.
I got the impression that a lot of our listeners wanted this Trevor Lawrence thing
to happen.
And I don't mean like they wanted, I mean they wanted the trade to actually happen.
Yeah, they wanted
wanted Trevor Lawrence to be the Steelers quarterback in 2025.
I got to be real with you. I think a lot of them would probably agree with me if I had to guess, where even if they had some misgivings because maybe they've watched a decent amount of the Jags and it's like the production and the results have never truly matched or even I would say come close to matching the hype and what seems like should be there with him, 6'6", 225, all that. It's just so much easier to talk yourself into the idea that the dam's going to break for him, that he's just a slower developing quarterback. A quiet first 4 years. I even think he would probably have a lot of extra cachet or a lot of cover done for him by the fact that he has won a playoff game. Like, he was so good for 30 minutes of a game that he managed to win a game that he sucked for 30 minutes.
I'm going to confess something to you, though. I think that if you pull me out of Pittsburgh and I'm not here dealing with
the fishbowl,
the horrible reality of the fact that we don't have an answer at quarterback, and I was on the outside, maybe I rooted for a team that did have a quarterback solution like the Bengals or the Chiefs or something like that.
Put yourself completely divorced from it. You're rooting for like the Eagles where you don't even see the Steelers twice a year.
Sure.
It's just they're in the other conference.
I'm Seth the MILF Hunter and I'm still on cloud nine.
Sure.
I see the Steelers trade for Trevor Lawrence and they give up, like Ryan Burp put out there, a first and second round pick. I'm thinking to my I could easily see myself thinking they just traded for Trevor Lawrence, who's the second highest paid quarterback in the league. They're going to give that guy $55 million a year for the next five seasons.
And they're getting that level of production? Well, wait a minute. When you say $55 million a year, I know, because it's also still in his rookie deal, so his number's in the mid-40s. I don't look at the cap number so much because the cap's going to keep going up and up and up, and I feel like that becomes, just with every passing year, less of a ramification. Wouldn't you just say they're going to commit to Trevor Lawrence? They really think he's good enough? He's shown enough?
Here's the thing. Like, you can get out of the contract now if you're Jacksonville because there are still teams that think Trevor Lawrence is potentially a great quarterback. If he stinks in the next year or two,
yep.
Hypothetically here, we know it's not going to happen, but if it did, you're not getting out of it. No one's taking that contract. You're stuck with it.
Correct.
And it turns into like a Deshaun Watson in Cleveland situation where it potentially,
I don't think it would ever get quite that bad because Watson turned into literally the worst quarterback in the league. But
the amount of money that it sucks up and a guy's not good.
Well, it's just another whiff, and it's a guy who everybody missed on. I mean, even when the Jags made him the second highest paid guy,
right,
I think people kind of rolled their eyes.
So I would look at it like worth a shot, but man, if you're asking me, do I think it's going to work? I probably say no.
So you're admitting.
Do you know what I mean?
I don't know. Maybe you don't do this all the time. I actually try to run the exercise you just did somewhat regularly. Whenever we're having a discussion about a player that I know is going to be highly charged, I try to take myself completely out of it and say, how would I react if for me the Steelers were on the other end of the NFL universe? I mean, you can just like gauge the way you react to things that you see happening to like NFC teams. When Dak Prescott got his big extension, what did you think?
I laughed at it.
Right?
I laughed at it.
But honestly, on some level, I bet if there was a thought that they were going to trade for him here, there would be, I think
I'm confident when the Trevor Lawrence deal happened, we said, are you kidding me? That amount of money?
Right.
And now we're saying they should have traded for him or tried to.